Well, welcome again. You seen enough of me yet? Cynthia's just relieved she didn't have to do any of the talking, because that was when Michael was gone. They didn't know who was going to take over. I said, just leave it to the loudmouth. He can handle it. So we're entering into the next, which I have been finding to be a very fun series, and I'm so glad that you're here today. Today it addresses the core issue of why I'm embarrassed to be a Christian sometimes. That may sound a bit odd coming from a pastor, but it's true. This week we're talking about why worry about the splinter. When people ask me what I do for a living, sometimes my blood pressure goes a little high. It's my greatest temptation to lie in moments like that, because I know most likely when I reveal the answer, it's going to kill the conversation. I bet many know where I'm going with this. If we were to Google on the big screen here, Christians are so ... what do you think the top three answers would be? Judgmental, hypocritical, mean. If that's your guess, you'd be right. Feel free to Google that after the service. I know that you know what I'm talking about. You probably felt it at different times. Over the past weeks, we've been looking at some incredible questions from Jesus. I'm convinced this world would be dramatically different if we could just each honestly answer this question. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? It's the question is straightforward and very well known. And yet this may be likely one of the most disobeyed scriptures in the whole Bible. Before we get into answering this question, let's look at the context. Matthew shows this teaching taking place during Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount beside the Sea of Galilee. So, he just had gotten done teaching on not to worry and how we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He then turned our attention to how we treat each other. So he said this, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Well, hold it. Record scratch. If anybody knows what a record is, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but you can't do that anymore with digital music. What did he just say? He said, "Do not judge." What in the? How is that even possible? I mean, I'm judged by you every Sunday. How did Steve do today? He just wasn't himself. He used to be so good. But what happened? Now you're judging me right now. Don't worry. I'm judging you too. Our team evaluates every weekend to see what we can improve on. And sometimes we'll say, the crowd was just flat. They seemed to sleep and not present. We did that in the theater too. We blamed a bad show on the audience. We do it at work or school every time we say, he's so arrogant. She's so bossy. She's so greedy. And here's a good test. Try scrolling through Facebook or Instagram for just a minute without judging. It's impossible. It is impossible. At some point, you'll think, he's just showing off. Whoa, she aged. You know, people that I went to high school with, how old they look. I'll never measure up to them. As another way, their kids are not well behaved. I was just at their house, but the pic looks like these kids are angels. Well, they're not. We can try to soften the blow by saying we are just making an observation. But at the core, we're making a judgment on someone. The point is, we cannot not judge. And if you say I'm wrong, you're judging me for being a false teacher because of what I just said. Stop judging me, sinner. With that tension in mind, let's add some more gasoline onto this fire. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." Say what? So which is it, Jesus? This seems like such a contradiction. How do we not judge when we are told here to judge correctly? Well, before we solve that tension, let me ask, what is it in us that likes to judge? In other words, why do we judge? I've come up with two core reasons to get you thinking. The first is judging others is about comparison. Let's be honest. It makes you feel good about yourself if you think you're the smartest person in the room or the best looking. Never worried about that one. Or the funniest, or the strongest, or you get my point. To experience that feeling, you need to judge others. And honestly, if we don't feel like a significant person in the room, I wonder if this is like an idea of hell, if we don't feel significant to the world. We start thinking, at least I'll end up in heaven for being humble. Well, that certainly won't. How about how full pride they are? We sometimes judge to make ourselves feel better about ourselves as we compare. But I propose there's one reason we judge, and this one may be the deeper issue, and that is that judging others is about deflection. See, when I judge others, the attention is away from me. I don't hold any responsibility. And thus, my sin or mistakes aren't going to be known. That's why some of us like breaking news or love to scroll the comments online. If we can target someone else, we never get called out, so we cast shame on them. And that leads us back to the tension. So why did Jesus say we don't judge, and then later said, make sure you judge correctly? Because as we look at the context of Jesus saying don't judge, it actually isn't stated as a command, as if he is telling us, I forbid you to judge. It's actually a warning. He's trying to protect us from the damage that will come when we judge incorrectly. With that in mind, let's look at Matthew 7 again. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? He goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see what Jesus is saying there? Be careful, friend. Be honest with yourself. Before you go throwing mud at someone, make sure you aren't just deflecting attention away from your own dirt. This actually reminds me of the time in a sermon I asked people to finish the statement of this popular Christian cliche. You want to try it? I said, love the sinner. And many people yelled back, hate the sin. And I said, Jesus would never say that. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. Then I said, what Jesus would actually say is, love the sinner and hate your own sin. That's what Jesus would have said. That's why I see these verses as a warning. He's saying if we just go around telling people where they are wrong without looking at our own life, we will find ourselves in a harsh, critical, judgmental, and negative world. Well, guess what? We didn't need Jesus' warning, and that's exactly what we've gotten. We didn't heed it. Actually, we didn't need it. We didn't heed his warning, and that's exactly what we've got. People trolling, slandering, slamming people all around. It breaks the heart of God. Let's be really honest. Have you ever truly changed from someone judging you? Don't misunderstand my question. I know if someone judged you or confronted you, you'd change your behavior. Like when my mom caught me swearing as a kid, this is what she would say. Stephen Clarence, I made a mental note to never swear again when mom's around. Being yelled at or judged doesn't truly change your heart. It just makes you hide things better. What changes your heart is when someone loves you and accepts you as you are. And as you spend time with them, you see a deep authenticity in them. The plank is out of their eye. They are real. They are honest. It's like how a person is trained to find counterfeit money. They study what? The real thing. When you are around someone who admits the plank in their own eye, you what they have. When you are around someone who is dealing with their own issues, it makes you look at your own and your own issues and then open up to that person. That's where real change happens. That's where Alcoholics Anonymous gets it right. They have a rule that you can only be a sponsor if you are a recovering alcoholic. You can't judge someone if you have not been in their shoes before. That's exactly the point to what Jesus is asking about the speck of dirt in their eye when you've got a log in yours. At another time after that, Jesus had a chance to show this practice in action. He was in the temple, and a group of religious folks who were ready to throw stones, I mean literally ready to throw stones at a woman caught in adultery. They had every right to judge her according to the law. They were abiding by the letter of the law, but they missed the very heart of God. So Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Many tend to believe it was their sins. I happen to believe that's true. But let's see what Jesus said. Let any one of you who was out without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And then those people holding stones from the oldest to the youngest left. In my mind, he wrote their sins down, oldest to youngest. That's just conjecture on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised. Only a deity would be able to know what that was. But then Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Note the order. Acceptance and no condemnation. She was accepted and loved by Jesus. He gained her trust. Then he could speak into her life as he told her to leave her life of sin. And therein lies the tension. We want to rush to the sin and punish it. Again, what is it in us that's so quick to notice what other people's sins? It's the desire to compare and then to deflect. We need to fight against that. It's in all of our nature to do that. You may be thinking, well, so how do I do that, Mr. Smarty Pants? Because they are just wrong in their behavior and they are just hurting themselves. There are two words back in Matthew 7 that are essential to help us be far less judgmental. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm going to read that again slowly. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What do you think the most two important words are in that verse? You hypocrite, plank out. Brother's eye, it seems to me to be see clearly. We have no right to ever talk to someone about their issues until we see clearly. And what Jesus is saying to us through his questions today is that we most often do not see clearly. So let's start at the mirror. Where do I have similar issues? With a woman caught in adultery, for example, I have to believe because of Jesus' other words, in the other teachings, that he called out the lust in the hearts of those men that had rocks in their hands. Don't go condemning her for trying to survive when you have a private lust going on in your own heart. Before you go around condemning someone, Jesus is calling us to look in the mirror. And by the way, from my experience, most people condemn the very issue they are trying to hide. Most people condemn the very issue they're trying to hide. That's why prayer time and devotional time is so vital to your soul. True confessions, and this probably isn't a really big confession, if you know me more than 5 minutes, I struggle with impatience. And I often catch myself being angry and judgmental around me to those who are impatient. When I pause and look in the mirror, I see an impatient man that needs to cut people some slack. And this just happened, you know what, this just happened yesterday. A guy parked in a parking spot and he was on the line, ruining the spot next to the spot that was open. And so I parked my car, went into the store and did my thing. I came out, my tire was on the line of the parking spot. And this is well after I wrote this, but it happened again. I don't know what was in that. I wasn't in a hurry. This guy might have been rushing in to get medicine for his child. I don't know, but it didn't matter. He could have been running in to get a Diet Coke. It doesn't matter. He parked bad like I parked bad, and I immediately rushed to judgment. So, wow, that's not really that drastic of a confession, but it just struck me so that it was exactly what I'm talking about here. When I pause and look in the mirror, I see an impatient man that needs to cut people some slack. Which leads to the second point. Seek to keep the relationship. Do you notice the type of word Jesus used to talk about the other person? Let's bring that verse up again. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Brother, So Jesus is making it clear, don't go around casting stones at people you don't know. This, by the way, is why Christians have such a bad reputation, like I talked about in the beginning. As we pick it against people we don't even know, there's no love in our condemnations because we don't know the person. So Jesus is saying relationship matters. So the best way to help someone with any sin in their life is to love them unconditionally. They are your friend or your family member. They need to know you want the best for them. And that only happens as you journey together in life. My hope is that because you first looked in the mirror and realized, whoa, I have the same issues in my life, then you'll first want to offer your issues to Jesus, then be open and honest with your friend or your family member by saying, did you know I used to blank? Did you know I used to struggle with? A follow-up to that may be to say something like, I've noticed. Or, help me understand. Or, I wonder if. And boy, I've had to do that with my kids because they pick up on your good traits and they inherit some of the bad ones too. So that's a natural conversation with fathers to sons, I've noticed. Do you know I used to struggle with? And those are the best conversations I've had with my boys. So by showing curiosity about something you observe, your loved one will be much more open to receiving some coaching or some correction. We live in a messy world. We live in a messy world with a lot of temptations. The good news is that we have each other to navigate these choppy waters. And as we truly love one another, and as we pray daily to God for help, to help us deal with our own sin, the Lord will guide us toward healthy conversations and wise and correct judgment versus condemnation and slander. John Wesley, in his small groups, they were called bands, used to have one final question at the end of each group session. And the other questions were very, very, have you been faithful to your wife? Have you cheated at all at work? Have you been faithful in your devotions? Really, like, these weren't like, what's your favorite color kind of questions. But the fascinating part was he ended with this last question. Have you lied about any of your answers tonight? Then they were often there for 5 more hours. No, I don't know that to be true. But what a great question. Nothing bonds you more quickly than knowing that you are around people who are being fully open and fully honest and fully transparent with their struggles and their failures. What a freeing feeling that is. And that starts with me and it starts with you. Reach out to family today that you're worried about what is going on in their life. And don't say, here's what I've noticed, how you're doing this bad. But just say, I care about you. If you ever want to talk about, and fill in the blank, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what the particular circumstances are. But start with the ones you know. But we're pretty quick to judge those that we know too, right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we do thank you for this opportunity to see through your eyes, to be reminded that our desire in all this is the judgment part is not as important as the see clearly part. Help us to see clearly how we can be in relationship with you and your people. Help us to see clearly how we can be conduits of peace and justice and mercy. Help us to see clearly how our behaviors and our habits may be noticeable to others, not that we want to hide from anyone, but that we can be completely authentic, that we want to redeem ourselves of sinful behavior. Lord, let us drop the rocks. Stop us from throwing rocks. Be in our conscience this week as we strive towards being more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we look to praise and worship you with every breath that we breathe. Amen.